That was beautiful. Thank you very much. Man, it was just 1 week, right? I took off 1 week. I'm so glad to be back. Thank you for giving me an amazing vacation. Thanks for being this family. Thank you for loving me as is and my family. It's Father's Day. If anybody hasn't gotten the root barrel, Mark, father figures. And I've actually been giving them to women too as well. He does have a father figure. Don't forget to tip your waitress. Okay. I got a couple announcements. One of them is it is Father's Day, and afterwards there's root beer floats, there's charcuterie. I don't know what that has to do with being a father or a father figure, but it looks delicious in there. But there's also donuts, and at least save one for me. I know there's people coming in eating donuts, and I'll pray for you. Okay, we got Hand and Foot is not at 2, it's actually at 1. Senior Options coming up June 26th. We're getting away to the desert when it's nice and cool in August. So if you talk to me after the service, if you feel like getting really, really warm with your family. Anything else? I think that's about it. And since it's Sabbath, I think we should just go around and greet one another, and I'll pull us back together for our call to worship. Okay. I forgot a couple announcements. It's kind of crazy because it's the biggest one. You got a flyer in your orders of worship coming up. There's going to be a blood drive at the end of the month. Make sure you put that on your calendar. And then also, we're doing a series. We're going through this book called Mudhouse Sabbath, and that's what I'm going to be preaching on this morning, and we're going to be preaching on the rest of the summer. There's a couple copies, and I have some more copies in the back in my office, so if you want a copy, it's $15. I've heard it's cheaper on Kindle, so go get it on Kindle. I'll talk more about it during my sermon. I have some special instructions for our opening hymn. I'm going to set the table a little bit. But our opening hymn, everyone's going to sing the first verse. The second verse, women only. The third verse, women only. And then the fourth verse, everyone again. Okay? 1, 2, 2, 4. I think I repeated 2 for some reason. 2, 3, 4. Okay. So is everybody clear on that?
Yes.
And I guess we're giving the dads a break, you know, and the father figures a break. So women, you're going to be doing the heavy lifting. If I could still everybody down, and then I'll stand us for the scripture, but I'll open with a treasured memory I got. Because it is Father's Day, and this is a treasured memory from a father. Every evening, while Mother cooked, my father would sit me on his lap and read to me. And I remember sometimes he would get down on the floor with me, and we'd build forts and houses out of Lincoln logs. I remember my dad as love. Please stand, and I'll read our call to worship, which comes from Psalm 92. I'll be reading from the King James Version. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. To shew forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon a psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. Let's worship our Heavenly Father.
Thank you.
be back with y'all. In this last week, I was in Chicago, Michigan, Denmark, and Norway. That was a big week. And one of the things that I've noticed about Europeans is they can sing. And I just think, especially on Father's Day, shouldn't hold back, okay? Let's show these Europeans that we can worship too, okay, Presbyterians? All right. Let's do it.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard you're a good, good father.
It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are.
And I'm loved by you.
It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
I see many searching for answers. Far.
Brothers and sisters, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yet we are justified by the gift of God's grace through the redemption we have in Christ Jesus. Trusting in God's mercy, let us confess our sins. We shall recite together the prayer of confession as given us in the bulletin. Almighty God, we have sinned. You have heard us. You call us by name. We have walked in sin. We have condemned evil, prejudiced, warfare, and greed. God of grace, help us to atone our sins so that we can come to your mercy. We may repent and turn to you and receive forgiveness through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. The Bible tells us, do not fear. God says, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. God is doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. By the grace of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen.
Thank you.
Wow. Right? Wow. Thank you so much. You don't understand. Coming back from vacation, my mind's a little frantic, and my mind's a little all over the place, and that just gave me a bunch of peace. Thank you for all that hard work. Something about her vigorously pounding at the piano gave me peace. I don't know. It doesn't make much sense, but it does, I guess. I'm just coming off of a Sabbath rest, and it was an excellent one. And so I'm having a hard time actually gearing up, but I'm really glad to be here. Let me just say that. That's one of the biggest lessons I learned. My conversations with God over my vacation. I turned 50, and I just praise God for the place he's put me and the people he's surrounded me with. And this journey is, it's not easy, but it's exactly where God has me, and I'm grateful for it. We're going through Mudhouse Sabbath. Does everybody know that? Okay, I introduced the book and I took off, and then Steve preached last week and I've heard amazing things. So thank you very much, Steve. And thank you for Simon and the worship team covering, because Danny was off in Europe, so you had Tim in. And I praise God for the people that are equipped around me as well. This Mudhouse Sabbath, the story behind it is this woman grew up in a Jewish home. She converted to Christianity. She's a teacher, she was a professor at UVA when this book came out. I don't remember. I don't know if she is still. I haven't looked into that. And this book, when it first came out, really ministered to me. And I happened to actually, it's named Mudhouse Sabbath because off campus, there's a coffee house called the Mudhouse. And she wrote primarily most of this book while sitting in that coffee house. I've learned from Nora Anderson, my assistant, that Mudhouse also refers to a potter's working space. And I think that's just absolutely appropriate because it brings up those Old Testament images of God working with us like potters, and we're the clay, right? And this book is her reflections on the Jewish understanding of spiritual disciplines, because they've been putting these things into practice a little bit longer than we have as followers of Jesus. And she says, hey, why don't we look at our brothers and sisters and see what we can learn? See if there's things that we can glean from their experience. That just sounds wise to me. Amen? So this first one, that chapter one, is on the Sabbath. And like I said, I'm coming off a Sabbath rest. And I love the idea of Sabbath. Does anybody remember my first sermon series coming up on 5 years ago, August 1st? It was Let's Be Still. And it was on Brueggemann's book, Sabbath as Resistance. And ever since then, I've had a special place in my heart for this biblical mandate to rest. Does anybody remember that? Okay, good. Just make me feel, even if you don't, words of affirmation. Yeah, I totally remember it. It changed my life. You don't, yeah, my wife will tell you, you don't even have to mean it. You just say it. Anyway, because I'm words of affirmation anyway. That's a different sermon. Let's look at scripture. That's enough of me chit-chatting, and let's get to this text. And it's the Ten Commandments, and it's the fourth commandment. And just in case you don't remember Sabbath as resistance, the first three are about worshiping God and the holiness of God. And then the last six are about treating our brothers and sisters. There's a lot of nots. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Lauren Winter points out In this commandment, there's both. Don't work, rest. And Sabbath as resistance, he points out that this is the most defining commandment to the Jewish people in the Ten Commandments. Because it sets them apart as a people group, and it tells why. Now there's enough of me chit-chatting. Let's get to the text. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord, your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, powerful Spirit, use your word, use me, speak. And all God's people said, A couple months ago, we were meeting together as a worship committee, and we were back in the choir room, and we were spitballing. We were thinking, how can we make Father's Day special, and Mother's Day? And Jennifer Wheeler, a member of our team, said, why don't we do treasured memories? Remember, we did that on Mother's Day. And I read one at the beginning of the service that was to a father. And this is actually the story that made all of us at the worship committee cry. And it's the reason we did the treasured memories. So, Jennifer?
I just remember Sunday mornings were very, very special in my house growing up as a little girl. And my mom would always make waffles. And that's the only time we got waffles was on Sunday morning. And we went to a Baptist church that was in L.A., and I lived in Gardena, so it was quite a little drive to go to church. But we went to the 11 o'clock service in those days. But the thing that always comes to mind is my dad would gather up our shoes, and he would, whatever dress shoes he was going to wear that Sunday with his beautiful suit and tie, whatever high heels my mom was going to wear with her pretty dress that she was going to put a choir robe over when she got to church, and my sister and I's little shoes, whatever our little Sunday school shoes were, and he would polish those shoes every Sunday. We never went to church without freshly polished shoes.
Yeah. And doesn't that fit with our text, right? This fourth commandment kicks off. With a call, remember the Sabbath. And in I almost said the Greek just to try and impress you, Deuteronomos, but Deuteronomy, it says, observe the Sabbath by keeping it holy, by keeping it set apart. You dress up in your Sunday best. Dad, setting the stage for teaching us this morning, all those years ago, teaching us this morning of the reminder, today's different. Today's holy. Today is set apart. The fact that you're here right now, it's like I always say, I make lists and I list stuff I've already done, you know, take a shower. But here this morning, you are setting yourselves apart. How many people are in here? One. We are one people. And we are remembering, we are observing the Sabbath. We are setting ourselves apart. So well done. I guess one clap for all of you. One, two, three. Margot, I caught you. She was a little late, but I love that. But she still clapped anyway. Praise God. Remember, that's what she talks about. And she says in this book, by far, it's her most missed part of Judaism. She fell in love with remembering the Sabbath and keeping it holy. I want to read to you a brief little quote out of this book. One of the finest explanations I know of the Orthodox Sabbath comes from Liz Harris's Holy Days. She is perplexed and a little annoyed by all the restrictions. Over dinner, she asks her hosts why God cares whether or not she microwaves a frozen dinner on Friday night. What happens when we stop working in controlling nature? Moshe Konigsberg responds, when we don't operate machines or pick flowers or pluck fish from the sea, when we cease interfering in the world, we are acknowledging that it is God's world. It is God's world. Later on, we're going to sing, This Is My Father's World, right? That's another check off the list of observing the Sabbath. We're remembering that this isn't ours. God made the world in six days, and then he rested. And he invites us to learn more about him, to learn more about his creation, to learn more about ourselves, why we were made. That's pretty much half the chapter. It's calling us to remember and be set apart, holy, set apart. And then she goes into, what does that mean? Our call to rest boils down to not creating. My wife and I, right before actually I became your head pastor, I got the opportunity to go over to the Holy Land. And we happened to be in Tiberias on the Sabbath, which is right on the Sea of Galilee. And it's a Jewish town. We noticed as Friday was rolling around, everybody was doing frantic things. Everybody was working, and everybody was just, it was like a bee's hive. Everybody was moving around, and we as guests in this hotel were like, what's going on? Our tour guide explained, it's Sabbath, it's coming up. And they're preparing for Sabbath. They're working towards Sabbath. And so then we wake up on Saturday, and there's two elevators, and there's one elevator that's set to stop at every floor and going up and down, because you're not supposed to push any buttons. And my wife and I were coffee people, and we had fallen in love with these little, because every place we go on these mission trips and all these things, they always do coffee a little different. And over in the Holy Land, they have these shots of coffee that are, it's pretty much espresso, but probably with a third, third sugar, third cream, and a third espresso. Did I already say that? Did I run out of threes? Anyway, but they don't make them because they don't do the espresso machine. So we were like, what? Okay. We're a little disappointed. And then we're eating muffins, and they'd been cooking up all the storm. And then we get on this bus, and leaving town, It was like being in another world. It was, the streets were empty. Gas stations were closed. Maybe a quarter of the lights were on. People were doing stuff by candlelight. It was actually inviting, right? In this frantic-paced world, it was this peace. And you could enter in Tiberias this Friday night and be there this Saturday and enter into this bubble of rest. And in this chapter, Warren's inviting us to that. And right now, I don't know about your life, but my life is a far cry from that. There's lists, there's stuff to do. But she makes it real easy. Start by doing something. Because something's better than nothing, right? I got good news for you. You're a little way in. You're here amongst brothers and sisters. We're resting together. And then she also ends the chapter with, man, we have the resurrection. Since we're followers of Jesus, we have the resurrection on our Sabbath. So it can turn into a celebration. But she advises just little tips. And I think this book, because I didn't realize it. On Thursdays, it's my sermon prep day. But did you guys know that? And if you try and call me or text me, you won't get a response till 2. And I brought it back to this book. That's where that comes from. Turn off your cell phones. Unplug from normalcy and enter into the biblical normal. Rest. She also suggests starting on Saturday evening. I think I'm right because I'm saying it. Jesus gives us a lot more freedom. Because some of us work on Sundays. Amen? Well, none of you here, but anyway. It can happen. Like mine's a Thursday. I would think my Sabbath is really on Thursday. That's when I put everything down and I end up doing homework and studying for the sermon. But I think God is honored by that. And I think those boundaries of what God is honored by have been lifted. We are totally free in Christ to worship Him anywhere, anytime. Another thing I want to say just about he says, the commandment says, and don't allow your sons and daughters, right? And that's a word to us parents. Don't pass off your work. You know, I'm taking a break. Zeke, go get me this. That's not what this is about. This is about Ian's like, dang it. And she raises in the book a question, what does that look like for the people who serve us at restaurants? What does that look like for us as followers of Jesus, for those that are really working really hard and don't ever get the break because of socioeconomic? How do we give them rest? That's just a hanging question that ponder. Let me remind us. Start on Saturday. If you're on weekends, work on weekends. Remember, it's all freedom. And Jesus made it all about our hearts. Start somewhere. Turn off your phone. Does anybody think of anything else? Turn to your neighbor and just talk about it for a second. What can we leave this place doing throughout this week that would increase our understanding and our celebration, observance, remembering of the Sabbath? Ready? Go. But I'm bringing us back together. I'm bringing us back together. I'm bringing us back together. Did anybody come up with anything? Or you just check in with each other about your lunch plans? What? Get in nature. That's what my wife always says. Get in front of an ocean. That's what she doesn't really like mountains, but I like mountains. Karen said nope, but she didn't have a partner back there. Everybody look at Karen and say, hey, I love you. Linda just raised up her Bible and said, what better way to just tune in to the Sabbath and rest in his presence than to read his word? Anybody got anything else? Get out in nature. Read your Bibles. Just trust Jesus. Okay.
I practice stillness.
Just sitting and resting. Not looking at phones, not looking at media, not looking at papers, not looking at anything. Just listening. Ask God to revise your to-do list. Does he ever make it shorter? Is everybody hearing this? Because that stuff's gold. She's been practicing it for a month, and she's been amazed by how much important things have been getting done just by asking God to revise her to-do list. Makes sense. She also suggests taking right now, right here, and lengthening it. Lengthening it, because most of us have stuff on our to-do list. And she said, no, just kind of squeeze that stuff back. I was working up in the San Marino Community Church, up in San Marino, obviously. And this group said, hey, let's have a pew party, which means they just grabbed everybody in their pew and they went out to lunch afterwards. That was a cool one. And nothing's off the table. Nothing's off the table. And I love, it's not guilt tripping. Notice, Lauren, the Jewish people, Jesus the Christ, these are all spiritual disciplines to do after you understand you are absolutely adored. If you get the order messed up, you get in a really bad place. God is not a cosmic vending machine. If I take a Sabbath, would you give me this Mazda Miata? That's not how this works. It works by just, and this was my vacation. Stopping, sitting back, and just observing, not creating, just watching, right? Susan, a couple weeks ago, comes and starts worshiping with us because I went to Biola University and she used to live in the Whittier area. Just amazing. I can see God moving these chess pieces, you know? We don't have a mom in town. Jane Bates says, hey, you can use our luggage when you go over to Catalina. Just amazing. You know, Steve says, I'll preach. Yeah, sure, stand me up there. Just amazing, right? Doreen says, hey, let's go visit Keith. Keith and I, we're up there in Orange visiting Keith Coslin this week. Just amazing. Not creating, not making stuff. Just sitting back and watching how God does. This is what God does. He blows people's minds because he's absolutely beautiful, amazing, and gorgeous, and full of grace and full of love. And our call to the Sabbath isn't to coerce him. It's to worship him and be in awe of him and get lost in his restness, his shalomness, his peaceness, his homeness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, powerful Spirit, thank you for your rest. May we enter in even now. Thank you for setting us apart as your people, your Sabbath rest people, your resurrection people. I pray that you would be honored by any steps we make, by following any call you've given us this morning. May your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And all God's people said, amen. Let's worship the Lord. Let's stand and sing, O God, our help in ages past. As we continue in worship, I'm about to sing This Is Our Father's World. And as we give back our portions of what he's so richly blessed us with, let's enter into that space, that Sabbath rest space, and think of how everything we own isn't ours. It's actually God's. And let's thank him for the things that he so richly blessed us with. And in that heart and in that space, our tithes, offerings, and gifts are now received.
And though the rock seems off so strong,
Seated. And as I was coming in this morning, Mary De Silva handed me this and said, "You have to read this," to the congregation. And I said, "Okay, ma'am." So Mary, I'm going to read this right here. This is Tom, Mary's dad. Tom, yeah, likes to play games. Tom is happy. Tom is healthy, especially for being 98 years old. He's not 98 yet. He's about to be 98. September, he's 98. He's healthy. I'm going to use this as an intro to praise God for our fathers and our father figures. So, eyes open. Nothing magical happens when we close our eyes to pray. What are some names of some men that are father and father figures? Shout them out. Greg. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, powerful Spirit, we praise you for the father and the father figures you've put in our lives. We praise you for the lessons they've teach us about being an adult. Lessons that they've taught us about you and how you love, how you lead, how you guide, how you direct, how you encourage, how you bring peace. How you play. Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, proud Spirit, we also lift up the concerns of our country. As we're entering into this election year, I pray that your peace would reign and you'd give us as citizens wisdom and discernment. I pray that you'd be with our leaders, humble them, bring them unto you. Lord, I pray for our local government and our local neighborhood. As the homelessness is on the rise, help us to help. Help us to serve. Continue to open doors and give us wisdom on how to love those that are in need. We lift up our own family members. We lift up Kim's sister, Natalie. We lift up Sandy Corbett. We lift up Buzz as he's coming up on cataract surgery. We lift up Jane's sister, Pam, Starlene's mom, Starlet, as they're in hospice. We lift up Ruth as she has broken her tibia plateau and has had surgery, and I pray that you would bring her down from Northern California safely and quickly. Continue to lift up Bev. We lift up Terry and her cardiac concerns, and we pray over the echo she's having tomorrow. I pray that you would give the doctors, the nurses, the help staff, everyone, wisdom and heal, oh Lord, oh great physician. We lift up Patty as she continues on her journey. We lift up Keith. We lift up Gwen. We lift up Clark. We lift up Mary. We lift up Dusty. We lift up those that aren't on this list silently before you. We know you're good. We know your will be done. Increase our faith and continue to lead us and teach us. We pray all this and we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand with me if you are able, and let's sing of how great, good, and majestic God is.
Thank you.
how great thou art. Afterwards, make sure you go grab some charcuterie and some root beer floats and donuts. But for now, receive this benediction. May God's face shine upon you. May the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit guard and keep you. And may the peace of Christ, the peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds today, tomorrow, forevermore. Let it be so. Amen.